It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Philippians. We've just been enjoying such a study here in the fourth chapter, Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read once again, which I have for the last several weeks as we work through one verse at a time, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. I'd love for you to open your Bibles if you can and follow along with me. If you cannot, I just ask that you listen ever so carefully. And as you're doing that, I'm going to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. And we're located in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. I'd ask you to come and visit if you have an opportunity. We'd love to see you, but I sure am glad that you're listening. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch, and so I invite you to listen today and enjoy the study of the precious Word of God. Now that you have found those verses of Scripture, Philippians chapter 4, we're going to begin reading with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of His precious Word. Father, I thank You for the opportunity that we have to study this precious Word. And it just each time that we have a time to come together, I ask that after we have been together and studied the precious Word, that none of us are the same, that we have drawn closer unto You, Lord. Please, that we listen unto Your way and we listen unto Your will. And Father, that we know what that is. That we have turned away the pride in our life. That, Father, we've turned away the worry as we had last week. We've set that aside and we have set You before us first, Lord. I ask, Father, that You will guide and lead us now as we study this precious Word and continue this sweet study. Now, Father, convict the hearts. Show folks ever so much, Father, that they're lost and they need to be saved. And then, Father, if they've come to You and been saved, that they need to search the Word of God. They need to get into a Bible-preaching, soul-winning church, Lord, that loves souls and wants to see those folks bring saved people in, and that they go out and share the gospel and bring people to Jesus, and then bring those folks in, and we'll sit down and study the Word of God and search that Word and grow into the power and the grace of God. Now, Father, please help us. Lead us. Bring people to You, Lord Jesus. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love teaching the Word of God. I love talking about Jesus. I love telling you about the cross of Calvary. And I think we'll start right there today, that you know the cross of Calvary. You need to know that Jesus died on the cross for you. Do you know that? Oh, you say, yes, I know about it. No, I didn't ask you that. Do you know? Because you see, the walk with Jesus and the talk with Jesus is a personal one, just as you know anyone else. It is a very personal relationship, and I love the personal relationship I have with Jesus, and that relationship continues to grow. I hope that your relationship, I hope you know Jesus. If you don't know Him, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, I ask just right now that you realize that you're a sinner. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart right now. You know that you're a sinner, know that you're lost. Your only direction is hell. And I ask that you would ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, and that He would forgive you of your sins and save you. If you ask, He will. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. You're drawn to Him. And if you're drawn to Him today, it's time to come, and not tomorrow, not the next day. Today is a day of salvation. So I ask you that you come to Jesus today and be saved. And once you've come to Jesus, then it is a very important step that you begin to grow. God has given us the local church, the church to study the Word of God and search the Word of God and grow together. And He knows, God knew when He set the church before us that we needed each other. We need Him, we need to walk after Him, but the local church is so very important to your Christian life. Do not forsake the assembling. You know, I can't tell you that enough times. Do not forsake the assembling. If you are not in the house of God and coming in to study the Word of God, and there are times that the door is open and there's Bible study going on, and you're not forced to work or something like that, and too many people, I think, they take extra time so they don't have to be in the house of God. My friend, come. It's so sad as we study the Word of God, and you know, you have a great group on Sunday morning, and then you turn around and you'll have half or a third of that group on Sunday night, and then you'll have half or a third of that group on Wednesday night. What's the matter with people? They call themselves Christians. They say, "I'm saved." They say, "I love the Word of God," but they don't come to study it. Are they afraid of being godly? Is that what it is? You tell me. No, you tell God. You tell God why you can't be in His house and study His Word and fellowship with other believers. You tell Him. Get down on your knees and you tell Him. Don't refuse Jesus today as your Savior. And please don't turn your back on the walk and the service unto God. And don't turn your back on the church of God. Please don't. We looked last week, spent the whole time concerning be careful for nothing in verse 6. And so today we're going to go the next step. As we do, we go one step at a time. You know, the Scripture is very clear about precept upon precept. You know, you learn one thing, so then once we've learned that, then we go the next step. And that's the reason it's so important you never miss a study that we have together, whether it be here at the church or here on the radio. But don't ever miss, because we go step by step. Now, if you do miss, why don't think, okay, now I can forget it. I don't have to go at all. That's not right. You need to be here. And if you miss one, just jump right back in the next time. And if this is the first time you've been listening, well, I don't think that you're going to be lost, because you're not. We'll help you to enjoy the Word, even though you're coming right in the middle here, and that's just fine. I'm glad that you're with us. So please, that you do come to enjoy it. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry. Don't worry. We read back in Matthew last week, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, that's my order to you today. That's my request and a burden I have in my heart, that you will seek first the kingdom of God. Seek it first. Set everything else aside and seek it first. Last week we also read 1 Peter and we read out James. We had a sweet time last week. I hope that you enjoyed it as much as I did. Now, in order not to worry, and the replacement of worry, as we talked last week, is in verse 7, the peace of God. If you're not worrying, and I don't care, you can tell me, and you can lie to me, and that's what you're doing, if you tell me that you don't worry, nothing bothers you, and you're not a Christian, because those two things are impossible. You're thinking about the wrong things. You're not thinking about godly things, because you can't if you're not a Christian. And to be a Christian is one that is Christ-like. It is not one that just attends church occasionally, or not one that just seems to act like people think a Christian ought to act. A Christian is one that has been born again, according to John chapter 3. You must be born again. The way we become born again is confessing our sin before a righteous God and asking Him to take those sins away, that we be saved. He gives us salvation by His power, by His grace. Now I ask that you come to the Lord Jesus, that you seek His will. But don't lie to me. And again, don't lie worse than much, thousand times worse than that is to lie to God. You say you're all right. You say you don't worry. You say you got peace. Well, that's a lie, because the only peace that you can have is the peace that God can give you. I've watched too many people, and I've experienced it in my own life too many times, that I wanted something. And I worked, and I worked, and I worked. And you finagle. Maybe that's a word you're not familiar with, but it's a word that I kind of grew up with. You finagle around to try to figure out how that you can get what you want. And you think, if I get that, I'm going to have this, as verse 4 says, rejoice. Oh, I'll be able to rejoice. I'll be able to be so happy. I'll be able to have peace if I could just have that. But you know it's happened too many times, and be honest with yourself, because you'll have to agree. that when you've replaced God with material things, that when you gained that material item, whatever it was, car, a house, whatever it was, the job that you had to have, but you neglected to ask God if that's where He wanted you, whatever it might be, you just knew that the peace would be there when you finally got that, and you did everything in your power, point to beg, borrow, and steal to get what you wanted, because you knew that that would satisfy you, but it didn't. So many times when I'd buy something, buy a new truck, or I'd buy this, I thought, boy, that'll do it. And as soon as I brought it home, it didn't. I wanted something else. The only one in this world can satisfy is Jesus. So I'm asking you today to come to Jesus as your Savior. I'm asking you today then to turn your life and your heart over to the Lord Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and the worry will go away. Now, there are some things here concerning the life of a believer. In order for this worry to leave and the peace to come, we have three things listed in verse 6. And that's where we're going to spend the time today. We have, for the worry, be careful for nothing, for the worry to go away and the peace of God to come, as verse 7, we have three things. In everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. There are three ways that we avoid worry and receive the peace of God. Prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Now you'll see before we're finished today, and I hope we get that far today, you'll find that those are all tied together. Prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Now I ask you at the very beginning, prayer. What do you think of when you think of prayer? Do you picture yourself at the side of your bed and kneeling down and asking the Lord for healing for yourself, or thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given us? What do you think of? What do you picture in your mind concerning prayer? Prayer is something that is greatly neglected. So the peace of God doesn't exist in most Christians' life. They have replaced the peace of God with the general worry, as most of the world worries today. Prayer. Looking up the word prayer in the Greek is an earnest worship. An earnest worship. When you begin to worry, when the things of this world begin to close down on you, and you see, I'm no different than you are. I have a business that I have that I run, and I have people that work for me, and I have customers, and I have all these things. I have bills to pay. I have jobs to look. I have all those things, as well as the responsibilities here at church, as well as responsibilities at home. I have all those things. It's awful easy to worry. God tells us we don't have to. God tells us we shouldn't. God tells us, I'll give you my peace. And He gives us instructions on how to do that. Praying. Praying is the first list here. Again, prayer is earnest worship. The first thought that most of us had is to give God our list. We give Him our list of needs. That's what we think of when we think of the word and see the word prayer. Now, be honest with yourself. Isn't that what you think of when you think of prayer? Now, again, looking it up in the Greek, it tells us it's an earnest worship. To worship. Now that's just a little different than giving, handing in your Christmas list, isn't it? Because, you know, in most Christians' life, and even in lost people pray, and nobody hears them. But many lost people pray. They're praying to a dead God because they don't believe in the Lord Jesus. They've never trusted in Jesus. They've never trusted his death, burial, and resurrection. They have nobody to pray to. The prayer that God is awaiting to hear from the lost is a repentant heart and a heart that is turning to the Savior, the Lord Jesus. And you see, when we live and we hear the Word of God, the Holy Spirit comes out and touches that life. And the Holy Spirit begins to work on that person's life, showing them how righteous God is and how sinful they are. And upon the time of you realizing, everyone, the time of me realizing when I was saved, same way, that I was a sinner and I was lost and I was standing condemned before a holy God. And at the same time, that's not a place that he leaves you, and that's not a place he wants you to be. He wants you to recognize that you will come to him and be saved. Meet Jesus at the cross of Calvary and be saved. That's the walk. That's what he wants. He wants us to begin there. Now, upon coming to Jesus as your Savior, sad to say, from that time on, when we lift up our petitions unto God, it's just like a little boy or a little girl that gives his Christmas list to Santa Claus. Here's what I want, God. I hope you give me everything. I've been good. Isn't that just about the way it is? Isn't that just about the way it is in your life, in your prayer life? God tells us in his word that it's a worship. And it's not just, it's an earnest worship. When you come in prayer before a righteous God, you come before him that you know that God is right. And God is true. And God is real. And God is living. And he's a holy God. And you want to worship him and praise him and adore him. Prayer. That's a little bit different than your Christmas list, isn't it? Prayer. Worship him. Oh, my friend, that we would do that. That we would worship God, praise God, lift God up. And again, one of the words was adoration, to adore him. Please, my friend, when you begin to worry, get alone with him and speak to him so clearly. Not with a want list. God, I got to have this. God, I want this. God, I want that. God, why haven't you given me this? My friend, praise him. Prayer, praise him. Now, there's a place for requests, for supplication. The next word, and in supplication. Supplication here. I hope that you have your Bibles open. And again, if it's not possible, I sure try to read it enough times so that you can hear and so that you can understand what we're saying. But when I'm studying the Word of God, I always, as I've shared with you many times, right now I have three in front of me that are open. But I hold my finger right on that word. When I was talking about the word prayer, I've got my finger right on that word. And we look up other verses of Scripture, I take another Bible and I flip through the pages and find a reference that talks about that to help me to understand. And I've got my finger right on prayer. Now let's move that finger over to supplication. I keep my finger right there so that I can refer back to it often. to remember what we're talking about here. We're talking about not worrying and having the peace of God. Supplication. Supplication in the Greek is petition, request, to beg. Now that's what you would have thought the word prayer would have been, but prayer is worship. So let's move that to its place. And as you look in the Greek, and I hope that you have I use a Strong's Concordance. They're not real expensive to purchase. It should be in your library. You should have, and I mean in your Christian life, your library at home. You should have a good King James Bible. You should have a Strong's Concordance, and you should have a Bible dictionary. If you have those three, it's a joy to study the Word of God, and those are helps to help you to study. And you can take this concordance, and you can look up any word that's in the Scripture, in the Bible. You can look that word up and find the Greek or the Hebrew meaning, whether it be the Old Testament or the New. You need to learn how to use Strong's Concordance. I teach a Sunday school class of children, young children. They know how to use the Strong's Concordance. Don't tell me it's too hard. They enjoy looking words up, finding where it's at in the Word of God. If you don't own one, go buy one. Find one. You'll enjoy it. It'll help you to study the Word of God. I looked up in the concordance, looked up the Greek word for supplication, and I found petition, request, and to beg. So first of all, the word prayer, we come and worship and adore the Lord. And then He wants us to share our requests with Him. I have some scripture verses here. I'd love to go to Matthew chapter 7. Again, I hope that you can hear the Bible, the pages of the scripture turning. I know that if I have time to find it, you do as well. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Every one that asks receives. He that seeks finds. To him that knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, born evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? We need to go back to Matthew chapter 6. I'm not going to turn there, but that's where we found, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, if you want to be able to go unto the Lord, as Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11 tells us, you need to seek Him first. You need to come prayerfully unto Him, worshiping Him. And then come prayerfully in a worship to your requests. And you'll find if you seek first the kingdom of God, the request that you have will be requests that God can grant, because your heart and your life has been changed. That's how sweet it is to be a Christian and to walk after the Lord Jesus. Supplication. Let's move to Matthew chapter 26. There's a way to ask. Not loosely or but very to come to Him, and you'll see what I'm talking about here. Matthew chapter 26, verses 38 through 45. Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 38. Then said He unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He asked His disciples to watch with Him. Jesus was at the Garden of Gethsemane. very shortly he would be arrested, taken in, and be given a fake trial and be sentenced to die the death of crucifixion, be nailed to the cross of Calvary, die upon the place they call the skull. And then they'd take him down, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea will take him down and carry him to a borrowed tomb and lay him in that grave. He's going before his father, and he's in prayer. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He went a little further, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Oh, as we lift up our petitions unto the Lord, that we always want his will more than ours, and that we ask that our will turn immediately into his will. He asked his disciples to stay there and wait for him. He cometh unto his disciples in verse 40. He finds them asleep. He said to Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time. And he prayed, saying, O Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. We would come unto God, not as someone that we have brought down to our level and we're going to bargain with, but someone that we know is alive. God, ruler of the world, judge of the world, maker of the world, creator of the world. And come before him and say, God, please, I don't want to ask anything that you're not going to want. I don't want to ask anything, God, that you won't give me. So please, that you make my heart pleasing to yours. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, as Matthew chapter 6 tells us. He went away the second time, prayed, saying, O Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Is that the way we pray? Is that the way we pray? We pray in a bold, arrogant fashion. Here's my Christmas list, God, fill it. We pray when we don't have anything else to do. We don't give God our best time. We give God what's left. So our eyes get heavy and we fall asleep. He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, repeating the same words. Then he comes and his disciples said to them, sleep on now. Oh, my friend, that we're prepared to bring our petitions unto the Lord. We come, and we got through two today. We'll pick up on the third one, Thanksgiving, next time. Don't worry, my friend, in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Last week we looked at not to worry, to get the peace of God. This time we have looked at prayer, worship. We have looked at supplication, the requests. The Lord Jesus himself went unto his Father, wanted his will, the will of Jesus, to be the same as his Father's will. It's nothing wrong with asking, but we need to know, and we need to not continue to ask amiss. In other words, that's not listening, my friend, to walk through this life with no worry. Wouldn't that be great? Well, my friend, we can have the peace of God. Come to Jesus. My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?